This is the Bates Bobcast, our weekly podcast on Bates Athletics. On this week's episode, we talk with Bates Nordic Skiing senior captain Liza Bell, a leader of Bates Public Health Initiative, a club on campus collecting donations for Gather to Grow, a local food pantry helping area families impacted by the presence of ice in our community. Plus, updates on women's basketball, men's track and field, and women's alpine skiing. That's coming up on the Bates Bobcast. The Bates women's basketball team is 16-2, 3-1 in NESCAC play, and ranked 13th in the country by both D3Hoops.com and the Women's Basketball Coaches Association. The Bobcats won a pair of non-conference games last week, defeating the University of Maine at Farmington 90-48 on Wednesday and winning 83-45 on the road Saturday at St. Joseph's. Junior Sarah Hughes continues to play well, scoring 12 points on 5-of-9 shooting against the Beavers and tallying 9 points on 4-of-7 shooting against the Monks. Hughes leads the team in field goal percentage, and she is our female Bobcat of the week. Well, Sarah, a couple of non-conference games this past week for the Bobcats, a couple of wins. What did the team kind of take out of these two games? One at home, one on the road. What were some major takeaways the team had from these victories? What did you kind of learn going forward kind of into the resumption of NESCAC play here?
Yeah, with two non-conference games, you know, like LB said, not as sexy as a regular conference game. We really wanted to work on discipline and our mentality, respecting our opponent regardless and showing up the same way every time, because we've realized we've kind of struggled being consistent with that. So that was a focus this week.
Did you feel like the team showed up both times?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. I mean, there were quarters here and there in those games that we could have cleaned up, but definitely progress.
And for you personally, I mean, I've noticed this throughout your career at Bates. You know, your shooting ability, your field goal percentage is always very high. You know, you're a guard, but you're shooting nearly 50% this year. You know, you're at 48.5% this season. You're always up over 45%. I mean, was that something you take pride in, kind of, you know, that shooting percentage?
Yeah, I mean, I've always been coached to get the best shot. So even if it's a good shot, I'm going to try and work to make it even more open. And once it's open, I mean, that's easy.
And also your rebounding, it seems you have a nose for the ball. Your rebounding is up this year at 5.2 rebounds per game. What are you seeing around the glass?
I mean, I think I have a pretty good ability to read the ball. Once it goes up, I kind of know where it's going to bounce. And my ability to kind of jump and meet it at the highest point.
And Coach Montgomery talked before the year about this team emphasis on joy this year, right?
That's right.
How do you kind of try to contribute to that, you know, feeling of joy each game?
Yeah, I mean, touches, like, that's a huge thing for us. Pointing at someone with a good pass, giving someone a high five. Coach actually had an awesome story the other day about these girls from Falmouth High School came to watch our game, and one of the girls took notes, and one of her bullet points was they high five each other, especially when someone makes a mistake. So that's another part where we're trying to implement joy, because it's easy to have joy when we're winning and things are going easy. But
and obviously I'm off to a great start, you know, 16-2 on the year, 3-1 in NESCAC. I don't know if I've asked you, I mean, it was unfortunately one of the losses we had this year, but I don't think I've asked you about your half-court shot that you made earlier this season yet, the fourth double overtime against Bowdoin. I mean, it was just such an amazing moment, obviously something the team actually, you know, kind of practices, right? At the end of practice, the half-court shot. How often are you successful in practice at that?
Honestly, not that often. Elsa is a lot more consistent than I am with that. I think I just got pretty lucky in that moment. So.
And I noticed you telling the team, you know, we got more to play, right? What were you saying to them?
Yeah, I mean, we were all getting really excited. And, you know, I know when other teams do that, I'm always kind of pissed off. I'm like, you know, you didn't win the game yet. And so I was trying to make sure that we knew there were still 5 more minutes.
In that situation, when you released the ball, did you have a good feeling or –
I definitely had a good feeling. Yeah. I thought it seemed straight, had enough power. Yeah, felt good.
Teams going on the road this weekend, obviously, you know, at Williams, at Middlebury, two teams who you beat last year. Those were home games last season, going on the road this time. What's the key to a successful, you know, NESCAC road trip in your mind?
Again, we're focusing on Bates showing up as us. Of course, we're going to get a great scout, play personnel, but we're focused on ourselves showing up the best we can
You and Sophie in that backcourt, what's that dynamic like? Because I feel like you're both my wife, who's attending a lot of the games this year because her cousin's on the team as a first-year Claire, says she likes you and Sophie because you're both very scrappy. She feels like you're both scrappy. What's that dynamic like with you two in the backcourt?
I mean, it's super fun because we play a very similar position, so it's kind of like having a clone out there. You can dribble, you know they're going to make the cut and make the open pass, hit the open shots.
You know, on defense, I feel like you're both also, you know, pretty intense there. What are you working on kind of defensively?
We're trying to make it as hard as we can for whoever we're guarding, knowing if they want to drive right, if they want to drive left, if they like a crossover, if they like behind the back. Don't let them get that. So we're playing really close to personnel this year.
I feel like this team is super deep also, right? Like, you don't like you don't necessarily have to play that many minutes some games, right?
Yeah.
The Stars don't have to play that much sometimes. What's that like to, you know, feel – you must feel like – do you feel like more refreshed this year almost, like you don't have to play as much?
Yeah, I mean, I do feel a lot less sore, which is nice. And it is just so awesome seeing everyone get in the games and really contribute regardless.
What do you think is going to be the emphasis kind of, you know, moving forward here? Because now it's all NESCAC the rest of the way, right?
Yeah, I think being consistent with our shooting has been kind of a struggle. We have some games where we shoot lights out and other games where there's a lot of air balls. And sometimes games where there's a lot of both. So that's definitely going to be one focus. And I know that we're trying to do that individually more shoot. But then practice-wise, you know, like execute quickly and efficiently on offense, like making those hard cuts, because I mean there are moments where we're not disciplined in that, so I think that's going to be a focus. And then defensively, you know, keeping our hands active and trying to get a little more deflections.
Yeah, the shooting thing is interesting because Bates has the number one scoring offense in the NESCAC this year so far. But yeah, I've noticed that too, like sometimes the shooting is red hot, sometimes it's like it takes a while sometimes. Why do you think that is?
Honestly, I think it is a mindset thing for a lot of us. There's moments where you can tell that someone's hesitating and you know it's not going to go in. But then the second that we start feeling it, it's going to go in.
Yeah, sometimes it only takes one, right?
Exactly. You see it go through and red hot. Yep.
Excellent. What are your thoughts you wanted to share on the season so far? Obviously, you know, 16-2, obviously a great start. I mean, you're a junior now. All three of the years have been pretty successful seasons. How's this kind of compared to your previous two seasons so far, you think?
Feeling pretty great so far. I mean, obviously those two Bowdoin losses under the belt are pretty tough, but it's kind of lit a fire in me. This is the most like drive I've sort of felt and motivation because, man, I want to get that from Bowdoin.
You want a third shot, right?
Yeah.
And that's certainly very possible.
Exactly, so, yes.
Absolutely. Well, Sarah, thank you so much for joining us on the Bobcast. Congrats again on being our Female Bobcat of the Week. I appreciate the time.
Thank you.
The track and field teams traveled to MIT over the weekend and turned in a number of strong performances at the Gordon Kelly Invitational. Sophomore Ryan Glazer continued to impress in the 35-pound weight throw, placing second out of 45 competitors with his personal record heave of 55 feet, 10.5 inches. And he is our male Bobcat of the Week. Well, Ryan, before we talk about this past weekend, a little bit about yourself. You're from Rockport, Maine, growing up here in the state. Tell me a little bit about how you first got into track and field and maybe the throws specifically.
Yeah, so I actually always done track from pretty, like, about middle school I started. Always was just running and sprinting. You know, did soccer, basketball, and I was like, let's do track to kind of stay in shape. That was the original kind of way I got here. And then in high school, my sophomore year of high school, actually, I had a pretty bad hip injury. I had, like, an avulsion fracture that it's basically, like, when, like, tendon ripped a little piece of the bone off, never healed right. And then in high school, I got knocked out of soccer, knocked out of basketball, and, you know, can't do those. I wasn't able to sprint and track, and I was kind of left with this, like, ultimatum of, like, what do I do? Like, I love sports. I want to keep competing. How can I do it? And, you know, after I was kind of told, like, it would take a long time with physical therapy to be back to where I needed to be. I'm back there now, like, if I wanted. But I just kind of started lifting weights, got stronger, and then kind of came to throwing. And then in high school, like, it didn't come too easy for me. My sophomore year of high school, like, I wasn't very good. But you know, I just kind of took the time, and like, when you go from being a three sport athlete to a one sport athlete, you have a little bit extra time on your hands. So I spent all that time kind of throwing. And it was totally a great time. So now we're here.
Who'd you kind of learn from? Because it's a very, you know, it's a specialized discipline a little bit, right?
Yeah. It's definitely a very specialized thing. I think a lot of the field events in track are.
Yeah.
I didn't actually have a coach in high school, which kind of gave me a lot of freedom in terms of how I train and kind of, you know, building that wealth of knowledge that makes someone a good thrower. So yeah, just like a lot of YouTube videos, kind of found like role models and coaches that I, you know, really like. I'd pull a lot of information from the same sources, stay kind of consistent, and that's how I would train in high school. And then obviously coming here builds a good relationship with coach, with me having such a strong background.
So self-taught thrower, yeah. Basically. Yeah. So when you were looking at colleges, what put Bates on your radar? Did you want to stay in the state, or how did that kind of go?
Yeah, I think for me, Bates was a super kind of convenient, not in the sense that like it was easy, but convenient, you know, being close to home, getting, you know, great education. And obviously the track program here is really just wonderful. You know, Coach Kalina, our throws coach, I just only had positive interactions with him from the kind of the day we met. So having phone calls with him during high school was always so positive. And then even just like the way he'd reach out after meets and stuff, like I didn't kind of have that experience with other coaches. And I think for me, I wanted to be in Maine. I was looking at UMaine Orono. They have a great track program as well. But they had a head coach, or, well, throws coach, assistant coach, who actually moved schools. So then for me, it was like, that's maybe not my best choice. And then Bates just kind of worked out nicely.
So you come to Bates last year as a first year. For the first time ever, you have a throws coach in Coach Kalina. So yeah. What was that like? What did you learn from him right away, kind of?
Oh, it was just such an incredible thing. I think, you know, just kind of the way Kalina has so much foresight in training is really just an incredible comfort as an athlete that, you know, a lot of people maybe don't always appreciate. But for me, like in high school, having to kind of plan how to work out and how to like peak during the right, like during the end of the season and kind of all the logistics that go into it. I think having coach do that for me took, you know, ease off of me mentally and kind of let me just kind of get to work. Just got to buy into the program a little more and just, you know, work harder without having to think about the logistics of training is really important.
And what was it like to get all region honors as a first year in outdoor season? You got in the hammer there.
Yeah, that was really an incredible meet. I mean, I came into that meet seated 12th, you know, not expected to make it to finals, came out in New England's just really positive, you know, atmosphere. A lot of the team was getting really excited. And, you know, I got a big throw. I think it was, I can't remember if it was like fourth or fifth round, but, you know, I got one out there to 52 high. And just on the day, that got me third. So that was really exciting. Exciting to be able to step up when it matters. You know, I think that's an important thing in track.
You know, as you all know at Bates, of course, there's a great throws tradition here at Bates. Did you get to meet with David Pless earlier this year? I know he was looking forward to meeting with some of the throwers.
Yeah, so yeah, we all met David Pless. It was really great. And one of the great things about, you know, Bates, the history of the throws program, it's, you know, obviously incredibly prestigious. Not many people may know that. But I was able to text David Pless and a lot of the other kind of, like, I was texting him over the summer and, you know, getting feedback on my throws from someone who, you know, went to the trials and was just so competitive throughout his time. It's really great to be able to look up to people like that.
And this past weekend, you set a new PR in the weight throw. You're at 55, 10.5 now. You're getting there, right? I mean, top 10 lift, you need to over 60, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's getting there each week, it looks like, for you. What are you seeing this year from yourself in the weight throw that you're moving on up in terms of the PRs, it seems like?
Yeah, you know, I'm getting really consistent. And I think at this point in the season, that's really all you can ask for. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm building, like, I've had really good practice throws. I've touched that 18 mark in practice, so that's kind of the goal. You know, like you said, that would get me on the top 10 list. That would be a really good feeling. And then, you know, having that thought of maybe being able to push for a nationals run could be intriguing. It might be a little out of reach, but, you know, got to be ambitious, I think. I think that's a good thing to be.
It's always interesting when you've done something in practice, so you know it's there, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's a frustrating part with the field events, especially for throwing. It's like you have so many high-quality throws in practice and so many, you know, I hit 17 for the first time in a meet, but I've, you know, hit that multiple times before, so it's always so rewarding to get in the moment, but being better at kind of showing up when it matters is something I'm working towards.
And how's the shot put going? Because I saw you set a PR on the shot put at the Bates Invitational.
Yeah, me and Coach have been kind of, I have some like hand problems I've been dealing with. So me and Coach decided kind of less is more.
Okay.
I've been not throwing as much at practice. And I think so far that's been working. Like you said, I got a PR, which felt really good. I think right now I'm just trying to stay in good shape in terms of like the gym and just, you know, staying healthy. I think if I can stay healthy, then that's all I need with shot put. I'm not too worried about, you know, where I'm at any meet specific. I'm just trying to kind of go out there, have fun, compete, and then stay healthy. That's my goal with shot.
Yeah, and then I'm trying to remember, in high school in Maine, they don't do some events and throws. They do others. Remind me.
Yeah. So in high school, I was a discus and shot putter, and then the hammer and weight throw, which are now kind of my main events, are new.
Yeah, so, okay, that's interesting. So not only had you not had a coach before, you're doing brand new events when you got here, and it seems like you took to them really well. Mm-hmm. So why do you think it was such a natural fit for you, it seems like?
I think in terms of like genetics, it makes a lot of sense. I'm like pretty big guy compared to a lot of people, but when you look at like really competitive throwers, you know, their stature is kind of a lot bigger than mine. And in the weight and hammer throw, it's a little more technical. And then, you know, I just think working with Kalina, he's really just set up such a great kind of trajectory for me to improve. And I've just been kind of getting to work, making sure I do the little things and, visualizing, watching good throws, you know, making sure I'm getting good sleep, eating good, you know, coming to practice with a lot of, you know, insights into what I want to accomplish in the practice. Just, you know, those good habits, I think stacking over time is really what's the most important thing.
What's this throws group like? What are your teammates like?
Oh, I think we have a really good group. And I think we're, you know, talked about how prestigious Bates throws has been. I think we're finally getting back to that point. We have a really good group, hardworking people. Nothing but positive thoughts. I think we've, this season specifically, compared to last season, we've really stepped it up in terms of, you know, kind of how we execute at meets, how we train in the weight room, how we go into practice, you know, making sure things are going smoothly. Really happy to be a part of the group. I think we all push each other really well.
So for the men's team, this Saturday is the John Thomas Terrier Classic. Sunday is Middlebury. That's in Boston. Mm-hmm. Which one are you going to?
The throws team will be at in Boston for the Nesky meet.
In Boston for the Middlebury. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's confusing, but it's at BU. At the track at New Balance.
Yeah, New Balance. Yeah.
So that's Sunday. So you're going Sunday morning.
Basically. Yeah.
So okay, gotcha. And did you compete at that meet last year?
Yeah, I did, and honestly, I had a great time. So yeah. I got a PR at that meet. So hopefully, mm-hmm. we'll keep some positive vibes going there.
Yeah. Looking forward to hosting the main state meet, also, right?
Yeah. That's a really exciting one. So we always show up for that meet. So. No doubt we won't do it again.
Is that something the team really looks forward to, it seems like?
Definitely. And I think for that meet, we've always just been really competitive. I think our team as a whole has a lot of depth compared to, you know, Bowdoin, Colby, and all the other schools in Maine. So I think that really lets everyone shine, which is really cool to see.
Excellent. Well, any other thoughts you wanted to share on, you know, this past weekend's meet you wanted to mention we haven't gotten to talk about yet?
Honestly, I mean, nothing too crazy. I just think that meet was a lot of people. It was a really long meet, long day, a lot of people there. Kind of chaotic, but it was just, you know, fun to be out there compete. You know, throwing was at the end of the competition, so it was really fun to kind of have the whole team supporting me. I think that definitely helped.
Oh, nice. Everyone got to watch you go. Nice. And what throw did your PR come on?
First round of finals, so my fourth throw.
Okay.
Coming actually the first three throws of the meet, I was – kind of all over the place. I've thrown 15-meter throws, which I haven't done yet this season. That was the lowest by, like, a good margin.
But you got to finals.
I got to finals. Right. I got to, I was seated middle of the pack, and then, you know, talked it over with coach, you know, figured out kind of the direction we wanted to take it, and I ramped it up for finals, which was important.
Excellent. Ryan Glazer, our male Bobcat of the Week, a new PR in the weight throw this past Saturday at MIT. Getting closer and closer to that top 10 list. It's a tough one to get to, but he's getting there. Ryan, thanks so much for joining us on the Bobcast. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much.
The Alpine skiing team was at Whiteface Mountain last Thursday and Friday, and junior Juliet Hoder continued her strong start to the season. A week after placing a career-best 13th in the giant slalom at the Colby Carnival, Hoder picked up a top 30 finish in the slalom on Friday, pacing the Bobcats in 20th place out of 84 competitors. She also turned in another strong performance in the GS the day before, finishing 33rd. Well, Juliet, strong start to the season for the women's alpine skiing team. A couple of nice performances, especially I saw from you, like the giant slalom. Looks like you're much improved in that event. Tell me a little about what you've been working on in there specifically.
Yeah, definitely. My freshman year, I definitely was having strong results in slalom, but not at all in GS. So it's been good to like starting to feel a little more confident in my GS skiing and getting better equal results in both of them, which has been nice.
Yeah, the Colby Carnival, the team got fourth in the GS as a team. What was that like?
That was a great start. We definitely have a lot of strong freshmen this year, and everyone's been working really hard, and everyone's really wanting to get some good results in. We've been having a lot of good skiing. I think everyone just wants to like put their best in to get some good results for the team.
Tell me about how the St. Lawrence Carnival went this past weekend there at Whiteface.
Yeah, this weekend was it was some tough, some good results. There was definitely a lot of people that had good runs and then didn't get it finished completely to like how they wanted, so I think everyone's really wanting to go into next weekend with just strong skiing and getting some good results.
Dartmouth Carnival this weekend. Tell me a little bit about what you know about Dartmouth Skiway.
Dartmouth is an interesting hill because it's very flat. It starts a little steep and then it gets really flat, but it definitely is a fun environment. It's a smaller mountain, so you're around your teammates more and not like taking super long lifts, so I'm definitely excited Yeah, it'll be good, I hope.
Throwing it back a little bit to the Thanksgiving break, talk a little bit about this with, you know, Reagan Clute and also with Coach Samard about the chance for the team to go train in Colorado. What was that experience like?
Yeah, it was so amazing going out west because we've had a little difficulty with the weather in the past, so this year was definitely really nice. And there was a lot of other teams out there as well that we compete with, so it was good to have early season training next to all the teams we compete with and just being with the team. It was a great camp.
Correct me if I'm wrong, were you abroad this fall?
Yes, I was.
Well, tell me about that study abroad experience.
It was amazing. I was in Australia, so it was definitely interesting to come from summer to winter, but it's been an adjustment, but it was the best time.
Not much of a skiing opportunity there, probably.
No, just a lot of getting in good shape and preparing for the winter at the beach.
What was the highlight of the study abroad experience, perhaps?
I would say just getting to explore new places and being in a new environment was just amazing.
So when you come back here now, what was it like getting back on skis for the first time in probably a while, right?
Yeah, it was definitely fun. Get adjust to the cold, but it's been a good adjustment.
Great. And then, like, looking forward this season, what are some maybe goals you have in your mind? What are some things you want to see from yourself, you know, kind of moving forward this year?
I definitely would just love to get some results that I feel good about and putting two good runs in a carnival and having great results with the team and supporting everyone, because we've got a great group this year, so I definitely am very excited for what's to come.
Great. Julian Holder, thanks so much. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Bates students are stepping up to help area families impacted by the presence of ice in the Lewiston-Auburn community. Nordic Skiing senior captain Liza Bell is a member of Bates Public Health Initiative, a club on campus that is currently collecting donations to support Gather to Grow, a local food pantry. Gather to Grow is helping area families who don't feel safe leaving their homes right now. Bell tells us more about how you can help these efforts. Happy to have Bates Nordic Skiing senior captain Liza Bell with us here on the Bobcast to talk about a variety of things here going on at Bates. But first of all, Liza, tell us a little bit about yourself. Growing up, you're from Vermont. Tell us a little bit about how you first got into Nordic skiing and then what led you to Bates here eventually.
So I'm from Putney, Vermont, and Nordic has a very long and rich history in Putney. And that started off with the youth leagues when I was probably 4 or 5. My parents put me on a pair of skis. And I started, there was a great community in my town. And then I skied in the youth leagues all through like elementary and middle school. And then eventually ended up going to a ski academy in Stratton, Vermont for high school. And then ended up here at Bates.
And then what's it like being a captain this year?
It's been really amazing. I came back from abroad the year before this. And I was just really excited to get back to the team and influence. There was a huge group of new sophomores, and then this year we had another group of freshmen come in, and it's been really exciting to work with all of them and just get to kind of like have some influence on how their experience of Bates is, and specifically with the team. And my co-captain Sydney is one of my best friends, and it's been really amazing working together this year.
Excellent. And then you do a lot of things here at Bates. You're part of Public Health Initiative. It's a club here at Bates. Tell us a little bit about Public Health Initiative.
Yeah, so the Public Health Initiative basically just focuses on public health issues within the Bates community, but also we've been focusing on extending that outreach a little bit more into the Lewiston community recently. So we do some volunteering. We like to kind of like make our club members and the broader community aware of issues that are going on. And recently, with the presence of ice, we've been made aware of a need from Gather to Grow, which is the local food pantry and community gardens who I've done a bunch of volunteering and work with. And they are helping support a number of families who are sheltered in place due to the presence of ice. And so they've been looking for a number of items to help support those families. And this was a great opportunity for a public health initiative to step in and really enforce that connection with the Lewiston community and run a drive to help get some items to them.
And I understand the deadline to help has been extended through the end of February. Tell us a little bit about how people can help. What's the easiest way they can help?
Yeah, so we have a drop box in the Fireplace Lounge in Common. So if you want to go to the store and just get some items and drop them off there, that's great. Another option is that you can just go onto Gather to Grow's website, and they actually have a link to donate if you want to do like a monetary contribution. That's another amazing way to support them. One more option is that the Harward Center has graciously offered to accept mail-in donations, so you can use their address to online order items to them.
Yeah, I know a lot of parents listen to this podcast, so if you're out of state, there's still ways to help, obviously.
Absolutely.
Yeah, go on the website. You can mail things to the Howard Center. Items needed, $50 gift cards to Shaw's or Hannaford, baby formula, and diapers of all sizes, it sounds like. Those are the biggest things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in terms of, you know, your work with Gather to Grow, you know, how has this drive been going in terms of getting these items?
It's been going really well. Yeah. Actually, this was a great kind of example for me of how quickly people can respond. So the night that I sent out an email, someone got back to me right away and asked about donating. And then the next day I talked with the Nordic team and everyone contributed right away and was super excited and helpful. And then even some people beyond like the Bates community have found out about it through some of the outreach that we've done and have also been already contributing. So there's been a good steady flow already and we're just hoping to get that going a little stronger. Yeah.
Anything else that's very important to people should know?
Just, I guess, that this is a really easy and amazing way to contribute in a very large way. You don't have to really do much. You can even just send a small contribution. Like on the Nordic team, a lot of people only donated like $5 and we were able to get a ton of stuff, which will really, really help these families out.
Yeah, so even the small contribution goes a long way to helping.
Yeah, and additionally, like Gather to Grow does so much within the community. They're like really an institution for supporting people's like belongingness within Lewiston. So with like the community gardens, there's a ton that they do for helping with like youth culture. And so just since they're operating on a very limited basis right now, it's really important to continue to support them and uplift their work.
Excellent. Liza Bell, senior captain of our Nordic skiing team, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast. Don't forget also that the Nordic skiing team is at Dartmouth this Friday and Saturday for the Dartmouth Carnival, 7.5K Classic and the 15K Freestyle. Looking forward to that and appreciate everything you're doing. And don't forget, folks, again, you can support this. If you're out of state, Gather to Grow, you can just Google it, the website, Gather to Grow, their food pantry here. And then also the Harvard Center is accepting via mail anything you can contribute in terms of the stuff you can send possibly through the mail to support this as well. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Home events this week for Bates Athletics include Friday's senior night meet for Bates Swim and Dive, with the action getting underway at 6 p.m. in Tarbell Pool. Plus, the men's basketball team is back home for key NESCAC games against Williams on Friday and Middlebury on Sunday. The Bobcats are currently 14-4 and 2-2 in conference play. Find the complete schedule online at gobatesbobcats.com. And we'll catch you next time on the Bates Bobcast.